The views and opinions expressed on the following program are not necessarily those of the staff and management of Salem Media of Hawaii.
Welcome to Generations Radio, where the focus is on our seniors and their families. We are here each Saturday afternoon from 5 until 6 p.m., bringing you resourceful information with our radio team of professionals in the field of aging. Stay with us for the next 1 hour as we explore different ways to make life more exciting and meaningful for our extraordinary seniors, right here on AM 690 The Answer. And now, here is our host and the publisher of Generations Magazine, Percy Ihara.
And welcome back to Generations Radio, and thanks for tuning in this all these years. And actually, we're here now in February, and I can't remember January now that I think about it. It's gone so quick. The time is flying by. I just turned 60. It's kind of an unusual time for me, not wanting to tell people I'm 60, but then telling people I'm 60 and still doing well. But
child.
Anyway, welcome back to the show, and thanks for tuning in. We want to get right to this story. Our February-March issue is out. Great cover picture. Basically, it says "Peace, Our Care, Our Choice," and the cover story is about the new law that passed in 2018, and came in effect January 2019. So we have Dr. Chuck Miller, who's very instrumental over at Kaiser to really get the process going, and of course, the man behind everything is John Radcliffe. And welcome both of you to the show, guys. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thanks, Percy. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you.
It's good to see you. I mean, Dr. Miller, I met you many years ago when you guys did the first, I believe, fundraiser with Compassion Choices. This is maybe 4 years ago up at your place.
Long time.
Yeah. You were so passionate back then, and you still are. And I know, John, you've been here right for a while. And I'll tell you, I don't think if we didn't have both of you, I don't know where we'd be with the law.
Well, actually, yeah, that it just is kismet. It turned out to be a perfect timing for everything. I mean, I think Chuck and I made a wonderful team, and still do.
Yes.
When we go around and talk to people, it really worked to have a person of his stature be able to turn to him and say, tell us what's going on in the world. And he's very knowledgeable about other legislation in other states and so forth. And so he's just been an unbelievable resource.
Well, especially to carry it through for the process over at Kaiser and hopefully for other hospitals.
Yeah.
And so I know we did a story with Blake O'Shiro and I believe it was Samantha from Compassion Choices.
Right.
Trying to get that bill, I think it was 17, it didn't pass, and it finally passed in 18.
Right, that's right.
But it's been around for a while, though. The thought has been around for a while,
it's
right?
It's been there for over 20 years. The person who really started this thing and really got everything going was Governor Cayetano. Governor Cayetano put a task force together, got a good report. We tried to move, or people tried to move the legislation over years, always failed. The power of the church and basically the right wing made it very difficult to do stuff. But once we got involved in 17, I was informed or diagnosed with incurable, already metastasized cancer, a stage 4 cancer of my colon, which had metastasized into my liver and lung, and was given 6 months to live in 2014.
So 14?
Yeah.
Wow.
We had no law like that then. In fact, I don't think we had the medical marijuana yet either. We were just getting that a couple years later. But that I helped with that too, and that helped a lot of people an awful lot, even though we're still working through that individual stuff.
But you, as a well-known lobbyist, I mean, we've known what the Democratic Party has been doing. You know a lot of the politicians.
Right.
One of the questions I always wanted to ask you, John, is that, as a lobbyist, they know who you are,
right.
and but obviously it took so many years, from 20 years ago when Kyle Tano first brought this issue up. Was it that hard to get these guys on board and get all your ducks lined up to pass this law?
Yeah, it was very difficult. It was not easy in 17. We got the votes and got the votes very handily, but there were still people out there we had to chase around. I'm grateful for that. You're right. I've been around the legislature since 1975, 76, 75. There's only one person left down there who's that really long, and that's Calvin Say. He came in 76. It's true. I do know a lot of people, and I've got a lot of people would want to help, and because I've got access to them, and they did. So, I mean, when you go in there, when you yourself are the terminal patient, and you bring your doctor with you, and sit down with those people, you're going to get a yes out of that pretty much. I mean, you can pretty much talk your way right into this thing because you got the facts.
Yeah.
You know?
So, and also, Dr. Miller, formerly from Kaiser, was Kaiser always on board, or did you have to convince them to really help with this?
Well, it depends on how you describe on board. Once the law passed, they understood totally that that's the law now, and we have to follow the law. We have to provide this to our patients, to our membership. So in Ige signed the bill in April, and I got a call from Dr. Jennifer Carney, who actually took my place. She's the current chief of oncology out there. She said, can you help us out? And so I said, sure. So we put together kind of a work group task force to try and, well, first of all, to develop policy, but also then how are you going to implement this, the law, the requirements for the patients and make it easy for them? And Kaiser, from that point on, I have to say, yes, they have been totally.
They've really been a leader
totally
because the two other main hospitals, they really haven't been so enthusiastic about getting it on board.
You're right. I've worked pretty closely with the oncology group and the palliative care group at Hawaii Pacific Health. Mm-hmm. And they're leaving it mostly up to the oncology department to kind of manage patients who request aid in dying. But the other problem, I have been told, the other issue is that administration at HPH has not given any resources, additional money or FTEs or anything to try and support it. So that's part of their problem. Remember, Kaiser hired me part-time, and I have two part-time navigators. That's what we do. That's all we do is manage the aid in dying program.
Well, we got to get them on board then.
Yeah, they're Kaiser's truly wonderful in that regard. But so many patients that I see who are now getting cancer or in the middle of something bad, and have doctors who don't want to cooperate. It's a big social and personal deal. You know, you've been with a doctor for a long time. You want to stay with the doctor that you trust, and if that doctor is not in favor of medical aid in dying, it makes your day pretty rough. I mean, you got to go find another doctor, and it's not easy. Kaiser is easy because it's all there. It's all lined up for you. But other, when you go through the other fee-for-service systems, instead of an HMO system, it's more difficult, I think. In fact, in Maui, for example, there's not a single doctor right now that I know of that will prescribe the medicine. And so that's why we have to go back in this year and amend the law to permit advanced care nurses the opportunity to make the prescription, you know, and we're moving on that legislation now. I expect that to pass. So that'll open up more opportunities for more people. But it's nonetheless, when you're in a life and death situation like that, it's a big burden.
Yeah. Can we talk real briefly about the process? Because I know I read the paper every day, the Advertiser, and I've read a lot of stories. But can you just quickly kind of briefly go over the simple process, Dr. Miller, because you're really familiar with the process. But we're one of the only state that requires 3 doctor letters.
Right. Okay, so when a patient requests medical aid in dying, the request is sent to one of my navigators. They review the chart and make sure that the patient is going to be eligible. I mean, you have to meet requirements. You have to be a resident of Hawaii. Obviously, you have to be over 18. That's not a problem. But you have to have a terminal illness, and sometimes that gets, okay. Yeah. And then you have to have a prognosis of less than 6 months. So they review the chart, then they call me and say, we have Mr. Smith over on Maui. And John is right. There are no prescribing physicians at all on Maui. So I've flown to Maui 4 times last year to see patients. But I sit with them, and I usually always go to their house. I take between 1 and 2 hours to go sit down and go over the entire process so that I'm comfortable that they understand exactly what has to happen and also that they are mentally capable of making that decision. Then they see a second physician who basically all he does or she does is say, yes, you meet all the eligibility criteria. And then they see a third practitioner who's a mental health specialist. It's either a psychiatrist, psychologist, or a licensed clinical social worker. And then they have to make a written request that says, yes, Mr. Smith, I want to do this. And then I have to talk to them one more time. They have to make a second oral request, and that's the 20-day waiting period. Mm-hmm. Between the first time I talk to them and the second time, it has to be 20 days.
It has to be 20 days.
It has to be, by law, 20 days. Hopefully we're going to change that, as John was talking about, into the legislation. But then I can do that second request by the phone, which I usually do. And if they say, yes, Dr. Miller, I want to continue with this, then I can write the prescription.
But do they have a mental health expert on Maui that can be able to do this?
A what?
Is there a mental health doctor, psychologist on Maui that
is for example? Kaiser usually will do a video teleconference for Big Island and Maui. I work with another, not a volunteer, he's paid, but Dr. Brian Goodyear does most of the mental health evaluations for Kaiser patients, and he's very, very good.
And so that whole time frame is the issue, right?
Right. I was the first patient to go through the time frame, go through the process, and primarily to see how it would work. And in my case, having been the first one to go through, it took 60 days to get the medicine as opposed to 20. So by my going through it, it cleaned out some glitches that they didn't need to have. It's now working very smoothly. People can get the medication and so forth. For whatever reason, I've outlived my diagnosis by over 6 years now.
I was surprised when I first met you.
Yeah.
I was surprised how good you look.
Thank you.
After how many chemo sessions.
Thank you.
He's got all his hair.
That came back. I lost my hair once and a half times, but it came back. I have withdrawn the chemo now. I'm not taking the chemo now. I stopped about 4 weeks ago because I was just too sick to continue, and it really wasn't as effective as it had formerly been.
Mm-hmm.
So I stopped taking chemo, knowing that. That could hasten everything pretty much. But I had 88, I think, 3-day rounds of chemo, which is a hell of a lot of chemo.
That is.
So it got to the point where it was, I was sick all the time. Never really felt much good. I'm better now a little bit than I have been. But I'm still tired a lot.
Yeah. And so, Dr. Miller, like I said, me following this over the years, Kaiser's really stepped up. And I understand you've done some trainings with some of the other hospital queens and HPH?
I've done some training with HPH.
Right.
I have not done anything at Queens. Nobody's asked me to. So.
And what about the hospice agencies here? There's four on Oahu, four in Hawaii.
I met with NAVIC. When it was still Hospice Hawaii, I met with them. Actually, I met with them.
Ken Zeri before?
No, it was Ken had retired.
Oh.
This was right before the law became active, and I did sit with their administrators, their CEO, and we talked quite a bit. And initially, October 2018, they had a lot of ambivalence, uncertainty, not quite sure how to adapt to the new law. And initially, they would not allow their hospice personnel, nurses,
mm-hmm.
to remain in the patient's home when the patient actually took the medication. Well, they learned from one case that that's not right. And this one case changed their policy so that now a Navian, a Bristol, I don't know the others, but...
Island,
I think all of them encourage their nurses to stay with the patient the entire time while they are mixing, drinking, doing the medication, falling asleep, and dying. And I can't tell you how big a change that is and how good it is, because the nurses being there, it's not just for the patient, it's for the families. The family has someone who can take charge, and once the patient dies, they don't have to worry. The nurse is there to help.
Yeah. One of the things that I noticed through some of my friends passing is are they providing any kind of a grievance for the hospice agencies? I know they provide a service, but do they do that at all? Have they changed anything with regard to how the family deals with the death, this type of process of a death?
To the best of my knowledge, all of the hospice services offer grievance counseling.
No, they all do, but I mean, because this process of dying is a little bit different.
Well,
it's quite different.
One of the things that it's been so helpful to me is the lessening of anxiety. Because. I have Chuck, and I have my other oncologist at Kaiser, who's helpful, very helpful, and a whole bunch of oncologists, nurses, and so forth. I mean, it's just and pharmacists and so on. I feel completely protected by the people around me. Nobody is giving me a hard time. Not my family. Not anybody. So, one of the difficult things of dealing with terminal cancer is anxiety. People suffer a lot from anxiety. And in this situation, the more you know, the better off you're going to be. I think in part, I've outlived the diagnosis a lot because I've followed the directions of my doctors and do everything that I'm supposed to. I read up on the whole issue of cancer, some things specific to me, other things more broadly, and take a real pay close attention to what's going on. And that's been helpful. But it's really nice not to have to fight anybody about this. I couldn't imagine having a family that would be saying no.
Well, one side saying no, one side saying yes.
Somebody in the family going nuts about that, and I haven't had to deal with any of that, and I have a pretty extensive family, so I'm very grateful to them.
How was that when you made that decision? Or did you ask for them acceptance? Can I ask you that?
Well, I think I told people this is the way it's going to be. but yes, my family has always been very accepting of things that I've done, and so I've been married almost 60 years, and we've got a daughter who's. Works for the Department of Health, who's also a real expert in this. She's had a lot of experience with cancer. Her first husband died of multiple myeloma. Wow. So, and then she worked as the coordinator for about 500 volunteers at the University of Miami Hospital for 10 years.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, she's very, very Akamai when it comes to what's going on.
Very, very fortunate.
Very helpful.
Very fortunate. But Dr. Miller, you've walked families through this process. Do you get many families at all that really fight this issue? Because that's one of the biggest complaints. People not happy with it, your dad's decision, or these skeptics out there.
Honestly, Percy, in the 46, 47 patients that I have seen, there was only one who didn't want her family on the mainland to know because she said they would try and stop her.
Hmm.
And so you have to understand, the patient has the option to let the next of kin know or not. It is not required by the law. So with that one exception, and she had her family here in the islands knew and were supportive of her, but she didn't want the rest of the family to know. With that solitary exception, every other patient I have seen, the family has been 100% supportive. I mean, it's just... And I don't know if that's because we're in Hawaii, but no, I have not seen any families who have objected to the patient's choice, the patient's decision.
Hmm.
So
it's good to hear.
Yeah, I guess I was a little surprised.
You thought you had more pushback?
When we first started, I was a little concerned about having the family sit there and listen and go through. But in every instance, it's been fully supportive. They have been fully supportive of their loved one's decision.
One thing, nice thing about having the law now is before we had the law, we had... And people in Hawaii are really good at this, coming up with, yeah, but what if this happens? Or what if that happens? Or they'll think of the weirdest, wildest damn thing and as a reason to avoid doing anything for this. But now that we have the law and it's worked pretty well, we put things in the law to be cautious and careful. And now we're finding out that some of them were a little too cautious and a little too careful in that no other state in the United States has these precautions and so forth. So we're in the process of seeing just what we really need to keep in the original law and what we need to change. Very few changes, really. Very small changes in the legislation. And I think from everything I hear, it's positive over there that they'll make the changes. I worried my own self for the need, or doubted the need for a psychiatrist to evaluate me. I thought it would simply just add to the
time.
And it did in my first case. But after that, it's worked out fine. There have been little, if any, complaints about it, and it's going along just fine. Our biggest complaint is the 20 days, which is longer than any other place, and we have a provision in the law to allow the attending physician who believes that you're going to pass away before the 20 days comes up to be able to, on a case-by-case basis, deal with that issue and move it up to right now if necessary.
Yeah. Well, we're going to get a short break. We're here talking about the law, Our Care, Our Choice. You can call it the Compassionate Choice, the Medical Aid in Dying, Assisted Suicide, whatever you want to call it. But we hear it, the experts, and that's how I have learned over the years. And so thanks to John and Dr. Miller here. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be right back.
When you feel like Vegas, there's just one place to stay. Grab a drink at the Holo Holo Bar. There's just one place to play. We got a fresh hot look, a new sports book. We got those local meals, just like Auntie Cook's. Aloha spoken here.
Check out the Cow's new renovated look and see why the Cow is Hawaii's favorite place in Vegas to stay and play.
Hi, I'm Margaret Wong with the Copeland Insurance Group. Let us be your Medicare resource throughout the year. We have agents throughout the islands to be of assistance to you. So if you have Medicare questions, we have the answers. Call us at 808-591-4877. Again, 808-591-4877. Thank you. We look forward to hearing from you.
Have you heard about Phytan, wondering if it works? Try it for yourself. Phytan Free Body Care daily at the Phytan Hawaii Shop, located in the Ohana Hali Marketplace on Ward Avenue. Phytan products are available at these fine retailers throughout the state. Long Drugs, Marukai, Don Quixote, GNC, Navy Exchange, Runner's Route, Runner's Hawaii, and many other specialty retailers. Life-changing experience, Phytan. For more information, click on PhytanHawaii.com. That's PhytanHawaii.com.
If you're new to Medicare, we can help you work your way through all the questions, the details, and the headaches. Generations TV has gathered experts in the field to help you find the answers. This is Navigating Medicare.
When it comes to Medicare supplement plans, or what we call Medigap plans, these are plans that fill in the 20% that Medicare doesn't cover. And there's plans from Plan A all the way up to Plan N.
When you're signing up for these plans, there are certain times when you have guaranteed issue. The Medicare Supplement Open Enrollment Period.
Hi, I'm Ed Motosui, and I'm with Financial Benefits Insurance. We're a full-blown insurance company that deals with seniors. We help seniors understand Medicare so they can come to us, and we'll gladly help them understand all the Medicare health options.
Helping you work your way through the confusion, Navigating Medicare. Brought to you today by Financial Benefits Insurance, serving the entire state of Hawaii from the corner of Pi'ikoi and Kapi'olani in Honolulu.
Have you been looking for a safe anti-inflammatory for your health and longevity? Introducing Xanthosin, a doctor-recommended astaxanthin supplement that supports your joints, heart, liver, and longevity. Xanthosin is safe, pure, and specially formulated for superior absorption. Xanthosin complies with all FDA regulations for manufacturing and labeling. Xanthosin, the safe anti-inflammatory for health and longevity. Available at a GNC store near you.
Did you know residential care homes offer a family-oriented atmosphere? At Caregivers Heart Hawaii, our kupuna become part of the family. The smaller environment allows for more personal attention. For example, there's no waiting to go to the bathroom compared to other long-term care options. The patient-to-caregiver ratio is smaller and help is faster. Over time, residential care homes are less expensive compared to other long-term care options. Our caregivers are experienced and enjoy what they do, and all homes are ADA approved. Don't feel stressed and overwhelmed or try to do this alone. Aloha, I am Ku'unani Demonte with Caregivers Heart Hawaii. Let us help you with all your care home placement needs. Caregivers Heart Hawaii has knowledge and experience. For a free consultation and to learn more about us, go to caregivershearthawaii.com, where treating kupuna like family is our business.
Got Vegas on your mind? Get Vacations Hawaii on the line. Vacations Hawaii offers weekly 4 and 5 night Honolulu to Vegas packages, which include 3 meals daily from $6.99. Stay at Hawaii's favorite casinos, California, Fremont, Main Street Station, and Orleans Hotel. Vacations Hawaii will get you there in comfort on deluxe wide-body 767 planes with complimentary in-flight hot meal service. Vacations Hawaii's frequent flyer program gives you future travel discounts and credits. So if you're ready to win big, call Vacations Hawaii at 591-4777 or visit pointvacationshawaii.com.
Today, more than ever, we local people are living longer than any other state in the union, with more seniors, baby boomers, and caregivers. Generations Radio promotes the importance to be proactive as we all age. The radio team will focus on issues facing our seniors and their families, finding resources to navigate healthy aging along with financial, legal, and caregiving information. So join Percy E. Hauer from 5 until 6 each Saturday, right here on AM 690, The Answer. Focusing on the issues facing our seniors and their families today. Here's our Generations Radio host, Percy Ihara.
So welcome back to Generations Radio, and thank you so much for tuning in. And don't forget, tell your friends about the show, but you can go online and listen to all our, I don't know, how many have we done, Leah? A couple hundred shows on here on different topics. Go to generations808.com and then click on the radio TV tab, and then we have an archive of all our. We had 2 seasons on OC16. We'll be bringing that back out later this year. But 2 seasons on OC16. All the shows are there. You can watch them. And then we have all the shows on our radio here on the website. As a resource magazine, we definitely want to be able to provide accurate information. So and that's really how I've learned over the years and bringing experts like Dr. Miller and John Radcliffe here. So check it out. Great cover story. Thanks to our writer, Catherine Smith, and our photographer, Brian Suda, and... Wilson Angel, our art director, putting this together. And, you know, every time we do a story like this, we decide on a story, our staff gets together, and I'm usually the most pessimistic skeptic out there. But I said, well, I'm the guy they're going to be calling, complaining to. I'm going to get the emails, you know. But so I always talk to my friends, talk to attorneys, financial advisors, and what do we think about this? Like the medical marijuana. That took me like 4 months to get that thing out of my head. And when we did it, like that's like the second fastest disappearing act we've ever done. People would walk by it. And so I said, Wilson, what are you going to put on a cover? Oh, I'm going to put a bud. Yeah. A bud? What's that going to look like? Well, we can't put any one company. So, and that, if you've seen that picture, the big bud on the front cover, oh my God, that thing. People would walk by it and come back and slowly pick it up, making sure nobody saw them picking it up. It was pretty crazy. But we couldn't find it. And in fact, this issue, we're probably going to run out within the first month. Really? I'm already getting complaints that we can't find it at Times. We can't find it at the YMCA or Big City Diner. So it's a great topic. It's a great story. How controversial do you think this is? Why, as you mentioned during the break, you know, we're a very conservative state. I said, well, right. We're one of 10 states. The other 40 or plus jurisdictions don't have it.
Right. But in our case, we always try to make whatever the law is just a little bit more onerous, weigh a little bit more so you can carry a little bit more up the hill with you. Do you really want to do this? Let's see if I can load you up with a little bit more stuff.
Yeah, so who brought up the idea of a psychologist, a third doctor? Who brought that up?
Oh, there were so many of those
really?
Ideas.
Like, but where'd they get that from? No other state does this.
They didn't need any play. We don't need that. We can come up with our own craziness right here. I mean, wait a minute. It's working, so I'm not complaining too much. But we really don't need all the layers of stuff. It's working out. And I wanted to make sure I got out today. I don't proselytize about the medical aid and dying stuff. People, I think it's a positive thing, and people should certainly look at it and have it as an option and use it if they want to. People like myself will do so. But the other thing I wanted to talk about, which I find absolutely offensive, is the attitude that people have about older people, that they're somehow less intelligent, they're less capable, they're victims, they need help, they're big dummies. None of that's true. Older people are smarter, tougher, and they have had more experiences than anybody else. They are nobody's victims, and they shouldn't be victims. You have to be your own person, and I very strongly recommend for all of us who are, you know, over the age of 60, or you are now, remember that you're somebody. You're not some drooling thing in a wheelchair someplace. You are somebody, and you can make up your own mind about your activities.
True. What's ageism? You know, it's all over the country.
Right.
You know, they think, oh, he's just old. It's just part of old age. Certain things, a lot of things are not part of old age.
Right.
But anyway, so we have data. We have some statistics. I know Dr. Miller, you said you just came back from the first conference on medical aid and dying in the country.
We had the first national clinical conference on medical aid and dying. It was held in Berkeley at the university last weekend. And we had representatives from virtually all of the other jurisdictions that have passed aid in dying. I learned a lot. As John was talking about, you know, Hawaii has to be different, and we are the only one that requires a 20-day waiting period and the only one who require a third evaluation, a mental health evaluation. But that notwithstanding, my perspective from now a year and 2 months, the law is working, and it's working. Once we got past John, it's working a lot better.
Yeah, works great.
But John was the first one. That's the reason.
Yeah, well,
the reason.
The biggest problem when we didn't have a pharmacy.
Right.
It took 2 months to get a pharmacy to provide the drug. So that's the biggest reason that John's case took so long.
And that's because you have to have a certain license or designation to be able to mix the compounds.
It has to be a compounding pharmacy, and I believe there is a separate certification by the state that you have to achieve to be a compounding pharmacy. But that's pretty taken care of. The bigger problem is we have two on Oahu and one on Kauai, none on Maui and none on the Big Island.
One on Kauai? Oh.
Yeah, there's one in Lihue. But for the Kaiser patients, Kaiser will pay for them to come over and pick up the medications.
Oh, really?
From Maui and the Big Island. Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So you wanted to talk a little bit about statistics. I can give you Kaiser's statistics from the previous year. And not having it in front of me, it's a
ballpark. I'm close to it.
So we had 46 referrals in the first 12 months.
Yeah, this is just Kaiser only.
This is Kaiser only. 46. Out of those 46, two patients were not eligible. Hmm. One mentally, I mean, it was, you know, anybody would know that. So, and the other one was, he wasn't anywhere near 6 months. I mean, he just wanted to.
He didn't like the life, I guess.
So he didn't, he had some heart disease of some sort. But anyway, so those two patients, so we had 44 patients who were eligible. 80% were cancer patients. Four were neurology patients with various ALS, multiple sclerosis, Parkinsonism, and I think another ALS. Four were lung patients with end-stage COPD or interstitial lung disease. And one heart disease patient who was end-stage congestive heart failure. So out of that number, we actually wrote 20 prescriptions.
A little less than half.
Less than half. And there's a whole bunch of reasons for it. I mean, sometimes, I mean, patients do change their mind.
Sure.
And
they have the right to do that.
The unfortunate thing, six of my patients died during the waiting period, so they could never get a prescription. Mm. They died within less than 20 days. Of those 25 prescriptions, Nineteen patients took the medication and died. And there's probably at least six or maybe more now that the patients have the medication and they are not ready to use it yet.
I'm one of them.
And like John.
That's right.
And we, you know, we have to really thank, you know, we did in the magazine, we did a story on a family from Kaneohe, the elder family, and really wanted to, I really wanted to thank them, and I will be speaking to them, but tell their story, like the other show that we did from, Aubrey Hawk interviewed a family and talked about the family from the Big Island,
right.
To be able to tell their story, like yourself, John, I give you a lot of credit, not only being brave, but just being real with we're all going to pass at some point. And one of the things I've always supported is that I want to be able to have, besides being a resource magazine,
right.
is be able to have people make their own choice in life. That's why I love our choice, our care, our choice, you know?
Yeah, it's been all in all an extremely positive thing for Hawaii to have as an option. It really takes some pressure off of everybody to allow for this. And as the numbers indicate, we're not talking about a huge number of individuals. We're talking about a very small number of individuals. There's a lot of reasons why people don't want to choose this particular procedure or they wouldn't do it. But that's primarily because of, you know, their own belief systems and so forth.
Sure.
And, most people, I think, feel, as I said before, a lessening of anxiety and stress. Just having the prescription makes you feel that, well, you know, I'm...
A little empowered?
I know where it is. Yeah, a little empowered. That's the other aspect of this, which is one of the difficulties we've had as a kind of a social and political problem, is that many doctors don't want to give up that power at the end. I mean, and I understand their point of view. They've been successful in their field for years. They believe they know how to handle pain better than anybody, and they believe that they know how to handle their patient better than anybody, and that's just their feeling and so forth. I believe this is a positive step forward for Hawaii. Yeah. And we need to make a few small changes to make it a little bit more humane.
Dr. Miller, we talked during the break about some of the, you know, when I first started telling my friends and contacts about having a story, there's always abuse. They always talk about the abuse, or it's going to happen someday, or somebody's going to tell dad you got to do this, or mom. And what are some of the pushbacks that really is just there in their mind, I think, you know, or the personal belief?
Well, two things, I think. Number one, I always sit with the patient and however many family members that they want to have with them.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I'm aware of if there's any issues from the family. And I have to tell you, Percy, in 46 cases, There is none. I think, you know, the one thing in my experience that I have learned from this is that the patients who choose aid in dying, they are very committed. They know exactly why they want to do this. They know exactly the reasons deep down inside mm-hmm. why they are choosing this. And I have not seen a single situation where a family member has said, don't do this. Their family members are sad, but they, in every case I've seen, they have been supportive. These patients, and it's not pain, like we talked about a little earlier. Pain can usually be well controlled by palliative medicine, but it's the terminal anxiety, as John was talking about, that's a suffering that they know in their hearts they don't want to go through this. And mm-hmm. having the law available, I can't tell you how many patients have said, I'm so grateful. And the families have said that. I'm so grateful that we have this option. It's been a learning experience.
But you still have the kind of stuff you're talking about, Percy. I mean, I hear it every day, and that's what I'm pretty good at arguing. So I don't mind doing this over and over and over and over again. But like Oregon, for example, which is the grandfather of all the laws,
20 some plus years,
and we say, and they've never had a problem. And the response is, it's because they suppress it.
That's what he's saying.
They suppress
it. You're not seeing all the facts.
Jesus. Leave me alone. Come here.
But can I ask you personally, has any of you, like your good friends or schoolmates or other relatives, ever give you the point of pushback or about your religious beliefs or anything like that?
Sure. Oh, yes. Yes, they do. I come from a strong Catholic family. I don't count myself a strong Catholic, but I come from a very strong Catholic family, and many in my family would prefer not to have to think about it, you know, mm-hmm. let God take his course, you know. That's okay with me. They can go ahead and think what they want. I'm going to do what is best for me. And now that we have the law, it's just incredibly better because I'm better off. I'm not eating myself up with all kinds of problems.
You're not stressing yourself out. You know when your time will
right.
be.
I also do medical marijuana every day. Does it have a bad effect on me? Does it make me hallucinate? Does it cause me not to be able to drive? Does it this, that, and the other thing? No. It just is a nice thing to do. It's a kind of a calming, you know, thing to do. And I know exactly the milligrammage that's right for me. Mm-hmm. I make my own stuff nowadays. I only do edibles, but I make my own edibles. And it works just great, you know, as long as you go, you know, you can't buy the edibles because they haven't got them yet.
Not yet.
And if they do, I'm pretty sure Hawaii will make them taste bad.
Why do you say that?
It's just the way we do things around here.
You know, Percy, I should talk about pushback. I only had one, and it wasn't a very, very close friend, but one friend who he can't even talk to me about aid in dying. I mean, it's just, wow. He can't, you know, I mean, of the pushback that I've seen in the community, it's almost 100% religious.
Yeah.
Based on their
personal belief and how
right.
strong their faith is.
Yeah, right. and that's never going to go away.
Yeah, well, it's almost the same thing. A friend of mine's father passed away outside of the United States.
Right.
And I said, well, how do I bring the body back? I said, good question. Should I call Hawaiian Airlines or Department of Health? And then he said, well, let me look into it. I said, then he called me back about a week later. He was still abroad. I said, well, you're Catholic, right? Because I knew he was Catholic. Yeah. I said, yeah, why do you ask? He goes, well, is cremation part of, does Catholics allow cremation? He goes, no. But he did talk to his family, and they thought about it and said they didn't cremated the father. And then he called me and he says, what do I do? Do I check in a bag or do I hand carry the thing? That's up to you. But they you know, it was just something that they dealt with in religious point of view. They bend a little bit. And I'm not saying it's the same as medical aid and dying, but I think people need to be open. People need to let that person make the decision. What about if it affects the medical directive? Would it ever affect the medical directive with regard to this?
What do you mean, the medical directive?
You know, when somebody says you have 6 months or less to live.
Right.
And they're in a coma or it's a situation, would it ever affect the medical aid? I mean, the medical directive?
No? You should have advanced care directives filed. That's, you know, right?
Especially with the hospital.
Certainly every, I know Kaiser, every cancer patient
has one.
Is basically, well, you can't force somebody to do it, but
right.
You really need to get this done.
Yeah.
You know, and all of the patients I've seen, they have had advanced directives, and they have all the paperwork that's necessary, durable power of attorney for
everything,
health affairs, all that stuff. So. But that's the system. I mean, I hope all the systems do that.
Yeah. Well, I sure hope some point down the road, Queens and HPH and the Castle, everybody else gets on board. It's just something that I really believe in choice. You know,
we all do.
Any last words, Dr. Miller, John? We got to close up here.
I guess the only thing I can say is that I'm very grateful to be able to do this, and I'm very grateful that John.
Well, I should be very grateful to both of you.
John got this thing through, yeah. And it's changed a lot of lives,
and more to the future,
including my own life. I mean, this gives me an opportunity to give back to the community, and it's been very gratifying to help in the community at this. You know, I've been here almost 50 years and done lots of different things and known for having done some things. But if this is my legacy, boy, it's a good one.
Yeah, and you've known my family for many years, and my Uncle Terry.
See, that's how I know all the politicians. I know you. I know your dad. I know your uncle. I know your mom.
Brother.
I know your brother. I know the whole shooting match.
Well,
brother's been very helpful, by the way.
Yeah, he was. He told me the same thing. It's going to pass, but
yeah.
he did want to say thank you.
Yeah,
you know, but
good man.
Anyway, thank you so much to both of you. Check out if you missed the show, if you hear about it, come out to our website, generations808.com. John, I hope you can get a job more. Keep in touch, and Dr. Miller, likewise. I know that's one thing we do, and we try to give people choice and give people really good information.
Thank you.
God bless.
Thank you very much. As always, everybody, have a great weekend. Aloha and live well.
The preceding program was sponsored by Generations Magazine.